where's Johnny?
See, it actually worked because I am a Johnny.
You are.
What's up and welcome to Mostly Film, your one-stop chaotic shop for all things in the world of cinema. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Recorder, my beautiful co-host, JP Payton.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. We need to discuss something right here, right now.
Let's discuss.
Are we not watching Nightmare Before Christmas for Halloween?
No.
We're going to watch it before Christmas.
Yeah.
We have to watch it for one of those two.
Yeah.
Because some people argue hardcore. There's like a divide. Is it a Christmas movie or is it a Halloween movie?
I consider it a Christmas movie. Because
there's a whole song called, "This is Halloween, this is Halloween, well, Halloween, Halloween."
So we all agree, though, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Correct.
Okay. So it is the first Christmas movie that you watch. Outside of like A Sorcerer's Stone, which I stand by. That is a holiday season movie.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Okay. I thought we had a discussion. Maybe it was I think you said Abby didn't think it was a Christmas movie.
I don't think she does, but we'd have to revisit that because I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Whatever.
Well, point being.
I just wanted to make sure we were in agreement there.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So we watched three films this week. I'm done trying to pretend because last week we decided we're not going to do. What have you been doing? Well,
there's
same old, because we're recording literally 10 minutes after we finished recording the other one.
Yeah.
So just jump right into it. We watched The Crow, Talk to Me, and Shining. We're going to review them in that order. And I do not know what JP rated these because he wouldn't tell me. So I'm finding out same way. But what he doesn't know, because he's holding a bag away, I'm going to have him open each one and tell me what he rated them and then kick us into it.
I thought you were going to say you had a porcelain hand for me to...
Oh, gosh, no.
No.
I'll never touch a mannequin hand, ever, anywhere.
Ever again.
I do it in general, but never again. Because you get Hereditary this week. This is definitely, you could tell it's the same kind of vibe. Anyway, tell me about The Crow. Give me the synopsis, and then tell me what you rated it, and then I'll jump in.
Well, let me find it. I almost had that pulled up. And then, so a man brutally murdered comes back to life as an undead avenger of his and
the hell are you reading?
The Crow? I'm not Letterboxd.
Oh, I say, I'm on the Letterboxd. Like, wait a second, I'm not reading along.
Yeah, he comes back to avenge his and his fiance's murder. Or this one is better put as a poetic guitarist. Which I didn't get until like the very end.
Yeah, I know. It was not clear.
Eric Draven is brought back to life by a crow a year after he and his fiance are murdered. The crow guides him through the land of the living.
Crow.
Yes, and leads him to his killers, knife thrower, Tintin, drug addict, fun boy, car buff, T-Bird, and the unsophisticated skank. One by one, Eric gives these thugs a taste of their own medicine. However, their leader, Top Dollar, a world-class crime lord who will dispatch his enemies with a Japanese sword and don't like that joke about it later, will soon learn the legend of the crow.
What's the joke?
A joke about it? I don't know. I mean, just around the table, like, hey, look at all this stuff that we did. I don't think making a joke about the sword.
Oh, I thought you meant you didn't like the joke that was in the script. So I cried and you weren't going to read it. I was like, oh.
Will soon learn the legend of the crow and the secret to the vigilante's invisibility. Invincibility.
I was like, I don't remember being invisible.
He's very visible.
Wow.
So yeah, that's basically The Crow.
And what was your rating for this film?
I mean, do we not want to talk about it
no,
first?
No, I want to know right now so then I can know.
It's a 3.5.
I was a 3.5. Okay.
I appreciated the movie.
Yeah.
But you open this movie with a really weird crime scene. It's really hard to see in this movie. It's
very
really,
dark.
It's too dark.
Did you have to watch this on Look too?
I did.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
On an iPad. Yep.
Yeah, I think I couldn't find this anywhere else. And I went at the Vudu was $18.99. I was like, must have been a damn near $20 for a film I've never seen.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't. Now this was one of those like $4.99 or $6.99 sales. Sure. For just to have an iconic film.
Yeah.
I'd buy it. But so this, I don't know what I was expecting this movie to be, but it wasn't this. It's definitely not a horror movie. spooky mood,
it's
sure.
It's spooky,
It's a spooky mood, but it's definitely not a horror film. And I watched another Alex. So the director is Alex Proyas, who most famous for I, Robot or The Crow, one of those two. But he also did Dark City, which I watched this year and gave 4 stars, so a half star bump, which I enjoyed far better than this film. They both have a 3.7, shockingly, but the mood and the atmosphere, and it's like, so this came out in 94. Dark City came out, I think, 98. So it's like he took what he learned from The Crow and made it better in Dark City, and I saw Dark City first, so by default, I think maybe I'm overimposing that into The Crow. But something about this film didn't work with me as a whole. I don't know what to put my finger on it. It just felt, maybe it was the pacing or like the story cohesion. It just felt very like jump ahead, skip ahead, copy and paste certain places. And well,
that's what I asked. Okay, so if you've never seen The Crow, the main character, Brandon Lee, was fatally shot and killed on the scene, on the set of this movie. Yeah, he got
Alec Baldwin.
Yes, he did. That's Alec Baldwin is alive, but
he shot somebody and killed somebody.
Yeah. But yeah, Brandon Lee died this movie. What?
Brandon Lee is Bruce Lee's son.
I did not know that.
That's part of the reason it's so controversial, because he died at the same age his dad died. Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. He didn't even look
Asian.
He didn't even, yeah.
Okay, Bruce Lee was an American martial actor and martial artist. He was the only son of martial artist and actor Bruce Lee and teacher Linda Lee Caldwell.
I'm going to call BS on that. He is definitely not the only one.
Apparently.
Only known one.
Yeah, apparently he is the only son.
Only known son.
Only son of Bruce Lee.
Why? Why?
Listen, we're allowed to do it. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Anyway, so maybe that is part of it, is the because he died, but I think he had filmed, I think, like 90-something% of his film spots. Yeah. So I don't know if that's really the main reason to blame. And I also got taken into account, this is a 1994 movie, because I just really hated, I hate's a strong word, I really didn't like some of the camera work here. But it really is just a dated cinematography in some ways.
Very low budget.
Yes.
I think that's a bigger issue for me. It looked very low budget. And it seemed too set in the time period that it was in. So it was, I just think, I don't know, too cultural, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it felt like they were in like Gotham City, one.
Yeah.
Two, this dude's a superhero, basically. Like a Batman, kinda, if you will. Like a dark Batman.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was telling you beforehand, it's kind of like this film feels like Ghost Rider a little bit. Like you're a gritty, or like a Daredevil or something, like you're a gritty, you know, vengeful superhero. There's the powers, and like it never graduated more than that. But I enjoyed the kills. I enjoyed the overall premise of it. I think if I wasn't trying to watch this movie objectively for the time period and all that stuff, like we kind of vow to do, this would probably be more of a 3-star film for me. Because I just didn't get anything like, wow, that was really neat, or like, wow, I've never seen that before, or wow, what a great performance, or wow, wow, wow. I didn't have any of those wow moments. Yeah. I didn't have any of that. But I had a lot of, I'm whelmed. I'm very whelmed. I'm whelmed right now. So it's 3.5 for me, but I think this is due a rewatch. Like, I think The Crow would be a really good candidate for like a Fathom events, like if Cinemark showed it for an anniversary, or if Maiden Alley showed it.
Maiden Alley definitely would show
it. Like, then let me go watch it on a bigger screen where I can get a proper view of the visuals, which is my fault. I watched it illegally. And, someone paid for it, so it's like a friend sharing something with me. But, you know, maybe that would help too. I don't know.
I agree with you. I would want this... I will probably never actively sit at home, search this movie, and try to watch it again. No. It does not have that appeal to me. No. But if it was kind of set up like an event where there is that draw, and like like you said, like this is a cult classic. So,
but is it because is it a cult classic because of the quality of the film, or is it a cult classic because Brandon Lee died?
I think it's very. I mean, it like I said, it one of the reasons I did not like it is because it feels super 90s.
Yeah,
and for some people, something like that is kind of like a time capsule of the stuff they grew up with or right. whatever. When I think of the type of people that really like The Crow, it's obvious why they like The Crow.
You know people that really like The Crow?
I mean, I can think of the type of people that school would probably shooters? Like it. I mean, Jesus. No, probably not.
Mm.
I don't know.
We got a little Coen Brothers, the pawn shop guy. I was like, hey, that's our guy from the Coen Brothers, John Polito. He's in like every other Coen Brothers movie we watched.
He got his cocaine pinky finger.
Yeah, he really did. He had it. My pinky toenail's about like that right now.
Bro, my toenails.
It makes the happy one die. My fingernails are always short.
No, listen though. Playing softball on Saturday, the stopping and the going and all that.
It makes them hurt.
Oh, dude, I'm going to lose my toenails.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah. Sorry for that information. They're lucky out there.
Yeah.
They're lucky. But anyway, no. What do you think of Brandon Lee's performance though?
Whenever he was on, I liked it. Whenever he's having to,
there it was. I knew it was coming eventually.
Whenever he's having to be broody and all that, I didn't care for it that much. Do you disagree, Luna? You disagree?
She's a hypnotic Yorkie right now.
You disagree? Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you take the mic away. You gotta say something. Okay, it's fine, Luna. It's okay.
Hey, Lou. Luna, look at me.
I just want to make eye contact.
That's enough. Thank you for letting us know you're here.
I just want enough of that. I, as far as Brandon Lee's performance, I think there was promise for a really good performance.
Yeah. And I think he had a very bright future ahead of him. Probably. Yeah. I didn't hate his performance. Like I said, it was a little schlocky. I'm not sure whose fault that is.
I definitely saw like the action movie star like aspect to his career. It was hard to believe. But once you kind of said like, oh yeah, it's Bruce Lee's son. I don't know why I never knew that. I feel like an idiot. But now that I know it, It just kind of like makes me more aware of the type of performance I was getting. So please tell us what you're actually trying to do right now.
I let Luna lick a sour warhead. She's done. She's like, nope, I'm good. I gave one. I hate the watermelon ones. So everyone, welcome to them. I let Violet try one the other day, not in her whole mouth. I let her take a lick and she goes, she squinted her eyes. She goes, yuck. Yuck. She goes, daddy, you take it. I was like, okay. But she didn't have like a, you know, like guttural reaction. Neither did Luna. She took one little lick and was like, I'm good. Don't need any more of that. But yeah, I thought Brandon Lee was fine. I everything about this movie was just aggressively fine with some nice, with me watching it in context, realizing this was actually pretty neat in 94. But we've seen just 1,000 iterations of this kind of film better now.
I mean, the only thing you've seen anything like this probably is Batman.
Batman and Ghost Rider.
Yeah. No, I meant like there wasn't a Ghost Rider.
Oh, I thought you meant now. Like since
leading up to this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And so
yeah,
that's, I think, where the cult following kind of like
gets
a lot of momentum.
It's Lost Boys is kind of like this vibe.
Like a vigilante feel.
Yeah, kind of feel to it. Yeah. I think Flatliners was also a similar kind of feel. I think this was probably trendy. The films, the style was probably trendy back then. But
Grunge,
The Crow was good. I thought Ernie Hudson as the detective was the grounded veteran leadership that actually made the film feel like a film sometimes, where it got off the rail. I feel like sometimes you teetered on falling off the rails into Camp City. And then I thought Ernie kind of brought it back in. But as a whole, there just weren't a lot of, to me, none of this was like memorable, like oh wow, I'm gonna think about this performance for years to come.
The kill scenes were pretty great.
I love the knife guy, or I can't remember what his name was, but I loved his
Tintin.
Yeah, Tintin. He was one of the first ones to go, but I loved his whole arc.
The bad guy, like the
main bag,
top dollar.
Yeah.
Hate his performance.
Oh yeah, not
the worst. I liked Skank's performance better. Yeah,
and it wasn't good either.
No. The accent was terrible.
Yep.
I kept looking at him thinking it was James
Vanderbeek.
No. Freaking stepbrother, not stepbrothers,
James Franco?
James Franco. Kept looking at him thinking it was James Franco, but it sounded like freaking A. Why am I shoot.
Christoph Waltz.
No. Sean L. Starts with an L.
Sean Lowe.
No.
Sean William Scott.
Who's to do with the voice that sounds like him?
Like maybe Sean William Sean. Scott?
Maybe it's not Sean.
I have no clue.
Shane?
Shane Told.
No. He was in Mob City.
Mob City.
It's the most recent thing I've seen him in.
With John Travolta?
Yeah.
I have no clue, bro. But listen, The Crow is good. I think The Crow actually, I know, you know, to move on and start to transition out of The Crow. Bill Skarsgård is rebooting, but he is the new Crow in the reboot that's coming out. It's a movie though, right? Or is it a series?
I don't know.
It would be great if it's a series. Because I was going to say, I could see The Crow being a really fun mini, like a middle limited, like high production limited series. Yeah. I think that would actually be a great place for it.
Steven Dorff.
Oh, yeah.
He sounds like Steven Dorff.
Yeah. But yeah, I think Bill Skarsgård's a great person to kind of carry the torch on and move it along. So speaking of moving along, unless you have any final thoughts.
None.
Let's talk to me.
Yeah, go 20, right
this,
ahead.
This came out this year, even though it says 2022, released nationwide this year. Directed by Michael Filippo, Danny Filippo.
Yeah.
They're brothers, I guess, Michael and Danny Filippo.
From Australia.
Yeah. Synopsis, you call, they'll answer. When a group of friends discover how to conjure spirits using an embalmed hand, they become hooked on the new thrill until one of them goes too far and releases terrifying supernatural forces. I gave this a 4 stars. I had a lot of, well, fun's not the right word, but I had a time with this film. I was very much enthralled. I was very much, aware of my, I'm a little uncomfortable, or I'm a little disturbed, or I think I maybe need to say a prayer right now,
Yeah.
It was one of those kind of films, similar to what we'll be doing with Hereditary. This is a very good warm up for you for Hereditary, because Hereditary is like 10 times more intense than this. So can't wait for you to do that. But, this had some really fun performances. This had some really neat directing stuff. The plot I thought was pretty cool. So that gives you a quick nutshell, but like, the main girl, which her name was Mia, played by Sophie Wilde. Her mom died. She lives with her dad, who's trying to figure out, kind of estranged or strained. And her friends have this hound who used to be the hand of, allegedly, this like embalmed hand of a former like medium who, conversed with thousands and thousands of dead people.
Yeah.
So if you touch the hand and you say, talk to me, you can like see whoever the hand wants you to see, like whoever is summoned at that point from hell, obviously at this point or whatever. And then if you say, I let you in, they set a timer for 90 seconds and you're like, you get basically possessed by whatever spirit is summoned by the hand. Mm. And Sophie does this and she gets, she sees her mom in this time. And, but the demon never leaves her and it haunts her. And the demon keeps saying, like, her best friend's little brother kept wanting to do it, and the demon kept saying they can't wait to get the brother and rip him apart or fillet him or whatever, torture and rape and all this other stuff like demons do. Demons are jerks. and they don't think anything of it. They keep doing the, keep playing with the hand, keep getting, having these parties. Everybody wants to do the hand because people do stupid stuff like make out with dogs, for instance, when you're on the hand juice, or you suck on toes when you're on the hand juice. There's a lot of fun stuff, which, coming from a guy who likes to suck on my wife's toes, there's a foot fetish scene in here. I know the Filippos are foot fetish people, because now you don't put that scene in a film unless you also like to put feet in your mouth. So, and you're missing out, JP.
Okay.
You're shaking your head, but you're missing out on the foot life. Here I am in your life. Here you are mine. Yes, this is the foot life most of the time. You know what that is?
No.
The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody?
No.
You never watched that movie, that show?
Yeah, I did.
No, it was the intro. Anyway, so the girl keeps seeing her mom who's died, and it's like a familiar spirit, a friendly spirit. But really, it's really this obese demon that keeps like camouflaging or trying to get her to do bad things. And finally gets to the point where she has convinced the girl to let her best friend's little brother do it. The one that the demons keep saying they wanted at the beginning. Well, he does, and the demon that possesses him immediately like goes just apeshit and like tries to kill him. Like, yeah. Just starts smashing his head into the table, smashing his head into the glass, like, you know, just going full on just nuts possessed. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the film is trying to get him safe and her at closure with her mom. And that's kind of how the film, that's the synopsis of the film for the most part.
Yeah.
And then, you know, getting rid of the hand, getting it back to its origins. So if I'm missing anything, tell me. But that's to me the general, the nutshell. So what did you think of this movie?
I did not enjoy it.
No.
Still give it 4 stars.
Yeah, same. 4 stars for me.
Because of that ending. That ending, is that what most horror movies are like?
Wait, as a whole or the ending?
Yeah, I mean, just like...
Explain the ending from your perspective.
So in the... There are many things that happen that... Because this spirit is basically terrorizing Mia, causes her to end up killing her own father, and left with the reality of that. I can't remember if she like realizes she actually killed her father, if she's just still in this trance.
I think she did right after it happened.
Like after, okay.
Yeah.
Because the demon makes her think her father is like a demon itself, or whatever, and she kills it.
Yeah.
She was like, okay, I'm gonna end this.
Yeah.
Whatever. I forget his name, but there's this one friend that was possessed. The one that bashes his head and all that. In the hospital. She's like,
Her friend's little brother.
Yes.
Riley.
We're gonna basically end this. I forget the actual motive though. Like,
she was gonna let him out of his pain by killing him, which is really what the demon wanted, so they could have him and torment him forever.
So Mia is basically puts him in a wheelchair out of the hospital, and is going to throw him into traffic.
Both of them, because she was gonna die.
She's being tormented as well,
by the obese wet girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whenever she throws herself in the traffic, they're both hit. Mia, though, wakes up. Everyone's being rushed in. She walks into the hospital and, like, everything's happening. She's just kind of like, what the heck's happening? She's obviously looks like she's been hit by a car. And when she's walking inside the hospital, she sees down the hall her mom and dad.
Yep.
Walking to an elevator. And that's like whenever everything goes black. And then the dim light of a candle shows up and we find that she has been trapped in the world of darkness or whatever they call it.
Yeah. She's dead, but can't move on to the spirit world because she was possessed by another demon.
Yeah.
So now she is one of the souls that's stuck in that hand.
Yeah.
So.
And it ends with her basically shaking hands with what you think is a porcelain hand, but it's really
a kid who's
some
doing
kids. Yeah.
So, which goes to wonder, are all these people in the hand, is it like a genie in the bottle? They trap souls in this hand. And the order to get free is you have to get your person, whoever you possess, to kill themselves.
Oh, what a theory.
That's what I haven't read that. That's my general theory.
I don't think that is. I did some deep diving on this because
I did this not. Movie Normally looks, I do, but I didn't.
This movie looks amazing.
Oh, cinematography is incredible.
Which, you know anything about the directors?
I don't.
I have a YouTube channel, Rucka Rucka.
Rucka Rucka?
Rucka Rucka.
Oh, not Rucka Rucka. Ah, Lee. Not like the bad parody videos?
No.
Oh, okay.
But they do, like, they're two brothers that basically decide we want to get into cinematography, but we can't go to school or whatever. So they just start making videos. Mm. Gain this cult following, and, you know, we're making A24 movies now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it's like horror wasn't like the like an Ari Aster type of thing, mm-hmm. like not the the genre that they probably wanted to take off on.
Yeah.
But it was the one that, you know, was received well, so they went with it. they're able to make the movie look super, I don't know, it just feels real.
Yeah, it feels grounded. And yeah. It also is very claustrophobic to me somehow. There's a lot of different locations, but it all feels like you're in one place the whole time.
The scenes with the demons and stuff are very isolating.
Yes.
Like that, like those are the moments, and there's a lot of it where I mean, it's just the scratching, the tapping, like just the sounds, everything. Yeah. It just feels like the walls are closing in on you, but you know, it's just, I don't know, man. I don't like the concept of this movie person. I don't like it.
No.
But
I can appreciate it. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking this is literally child's play compared to what we're watching this week. Hereditary is this on crack. Like, I've watched this movie, and this movie has actually had some funny moments. Like, I laughed out loud a few times in this movie.
But something about this felt more real than Hereditary, I feel like. Well,
just wait. And maybe it does to some people, like, but like being a kid and being around it, Hereditary is like, because, well, the thing about Hereditary, we're getting ahead, but it doesn't fight, it's fine, whatever. They had real demonology people and like did some real cases and stuff. It's not Hereditary, not a true story, but they did real
like
case studies and stuff like that. Yeah. And like, it's pretty close to being real. Like, this obviously not real. There's not some Madame Leota hand out there that's, you know, trapped 1,000 damned souls. It's not the Haunted Mansion via hand.
Yeah.
Which it kind of says you don't have to, you have to suspend your disbelief a little bit for this film, where I feel like Hereditary, you do not. If you have any sort of any, you know, religious background or, you know, your occult in your blood.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, talk to me. I just thought, like I was saying, I think it was genuinely funny. There were some really, I thought, laugh out loud moments in there, purposely, not like corny.
Yeah.
There were some funny moments. I thought all the performances were super strong. I thought the jump scares in it were fair. There weren't like a ton of them for the sake of having them, like Paranormal Activity and stuff like that. It wasn't like those. I thought they were, I think I've used this before, tasteful jump scares, if that's possible thing to have.
Yeah.
Did you find them all in Where's the Jump?
There wasn't a Where's the Jump, so oh. I did a deep dive, and subtitles, man. Subtitles help.
Did you have any jumps?
The corner
with her sitting over
in
there.
The bedroom. No, where the lady's crawling in the room.
Oh yeah.
I did not like that.
Yeah, no, yeah, I didn't figure you would. Yeah, there were certain moments in this one I was like, I bet JP's not having a good time in this moment.
Yeah, plenty of them.
Like the first time she like looks over and that lady, the lady standing right behind her, she's bloated. I was like, oh, it reminded me of the Dwight Schrute meme where Angela sneaks up behind him. Yeah. He's like, shit. that happened. Yeah. That's the first thing that popped into my head.
I mean, a second watch would probably be easier.
Yeah, same.
Because again, like, you're knowing what you're expecting.
And I don't feel that way about Hereditary. So that's what I'm saying. Like, Talk to Me, I think, was a fun film. Like, Talk to Me is not something I want to watch or intake regularly for reasons, but it's a fun horror film.
I think Talk to Me will be talked about for a long time.
Yeah.
It's just, it. I think it's...
Sequel's already coming out next year.
Yeah. And knowing like the way they did the ending, I don't think it was intentional. I don't think they intentionally wrote this movie as like, oh, you could do five of these.
Yeah.
It was just so well written that it just obviously left the door open.
And it makes me want to watch it. Like, I like this enough, I would watch the sequel.
Yeah, and hopefully
movie next year.
And hopefully give more insight to what's actually happening.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But then you run the, like, this to me feels like a new generation's Insidious. Insidious.
Good call.
The first Insidious. The directors didn't plan on making more than one. The writers didn't plan on making more than one. It came out, it blew up.
Yeah.
This is, feels very similar to that all over again. But no, performances, cinematography, the pacing.
Pacing was great.
Fantastic.
That honestly, in some ways, it ramps up the anxiety, but in some ways, in hindsight, like, it really helped temper it all. Yeah. Because I think you leave too much space, then you're just like,
well, Hereditary makes you sit with some of it, and it doesn't leave you alone. It's just there. I gotta mentally psych myself up for Hereditary, man.
I am not excited.
No, I know. You gotta watch that one with Caitlin.
I will.
And Sam, you need some friends to support you.
10 a.m. in the morning.
All the lights on.
Windows open.
Eating some food just to making sure you're completely, you know. Yeah. But I can't wait to talk about it because you thought the performances in this movie were good. Oh my gosh. Bro, Alex Wolff and Toni Collette. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, performances in this were... I think the star, Mia, I forget her name, but...
Sophie...
She's in something coming Sophie out real Wild. Soon that I didn't...
Let's see, she's in...
I don't think it's anything like super...
The Portable Door?
No, there was something else I thought I saw her...
Tom Jones?
Coming out in...
You Don't Know Me?
It might have been a chick flick. But it was a trailer that I saw.
Yeah, I don't see
it. It might have been for a series, though.
But no, Talk to Me. I really enjoyed it. I had a really fun time with Talk to Me. I mean, as fun as I can have with a horror, demonic horror film. But I thought it was good. I had a good time with it. That brings us to our last one. 1980 Stanley Kubrick film, The Shining. He came as the caretaker, but this hotel had its own guardians who'd been there a long time. Jack Torrance accepts a caretaker job at the Overlook Hotel, where he, along with his family Wendy and their son Danny, must live isolated from the rest of the world for the winter. But they aren't prepared for the madness that lurks within. So this is a Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall led film with Scatman Crothers as your other main supporting character. And the synopsis does sum it up pretty good. Jack Nicholson's family, and Jack Nicholson is a recovering alcoholic who is working on his a book or some sort of writing project. So he takes a job at this super, super like Grand Budapest Hotel kind of place out in like the Alps, not the Swiss Alps, just like Colorado mountains. And after the off season for the hotel, nobody's there at all, just to help see take care of the Overlook. There's what I'm trying to say. And he brings his wife and his son with him. But from the very beginning of the film, you realize that his son, Danny, has a friend named Tony who talks through his finger. And he talks like this, which I've seen this film a couple times before. And I was like, yo, I forgot about Tony. Tony's a freako.
Nobody messes with Tony.
Yeah, nobody messes with Tony. Talks in his stomach, which I remember thinking this the first time I watched it was like sexual abuse, because a lot of like sexual abuse stuff, people like fill in their
personalized,
tummy.
Yeah.
And, know that from our Christian counseling class. Mm-hmm. So I expect this was like sexual abuse or whatever, and I was like, I don't remember that the first couple times I watched it, but who knows, it's been a while. So I kept waiting for that shoe to drop, and I was like, oh good, it doesn't, there's no sexual abuse, praise. But yeah, so it's his family, they go up there. You find out that Jack, the dad, has abused, not sexually, just physically abused Danny before in a drunken stupor, and the mom is very kind of submissive kind of wife thing, but still like stands up for her kid, but still kind of submissive and lets him walk all over her. So while they're out there, there are a lot of hints like, you know, hey, the people who've been here before you have gone mad and killed themselves and killed their families. And the main chef out there really starts to, when they're doing the tour of the hotel before everybody leaves, starts talking to Danny, the youngest son, who's like, how old did you say Danny is? Like,
he's supposed to be six.
Six, yeah. You know, he starts talking to him telepathically. And they sit down and talk about it and explain it's called the Shining, or Shining, when that happens. And, you know, when he's down here, he might see some things not to worry about. It just don't go into room 237, I think, or something like that. 231 or something like that.
237.
237. He's like, well, what's in 237? He's like, nothing. Just don't go in there. Obviously, you're led to believe it was the guy who had been there previously who killed his whole family and killed himself. Which you start to realize that he has, that Danny has this gift, and that's who Tony is. He's got like this demon basically trapped in him that can help him see the spirit world. And he sees, you know, all sorts of long story short, evil spirits that hang out in this hotel from all the bad things that have happened there. And the lore breakdown from Dr. Sleep is incredible. That the lore that they break down from this film is amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, they're staying there for the summer. And of course, as pictured, Jack Nicholson slowly loses his mind, becomes unraveled, and tries to kill the mother and son. And they do eventually escape, but barely. And yeah, that's kind of the
synopsis. Kind of
the brief, yeah, brief synopsis. Stanley Kubrick is a genius, and Jack Nicholson, it's a shame, because every time I watch an old movie with him, I'm like, what an amazing actor he really was.
I mean, he didn't die.
No.
Okay, so what's the shame?
He can't act anymore. He's kind of like Bruce Willis. He doesn't have the capacity. Oh, Bruce Willis has dementia, but Jack Nicholson isn't all there anymore.
I mean, he's just old. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he retired from acting.
Yeah.
I forgot that this is the snow meme, though. Everybody always pops in the snow.
There's a couple memes in this.
Yeah.
That I forgot about. The Danny scene where he's just like screaming like that. That's one that sticks with me. But yeah, for some reason, I think the Frozen one, I think of that as like something out of National Lampoon's or something.
Yeah, I
like,
never remember it's this film.
Super crazy.
So what's your take on The Shining? Is this your first time watching it?
First time watching. Okay. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Had lots of questions, but I know that's intentional.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the ending completely answers all the questions.
And how's the ending for you? Explain the ending.
So after Danny and his mom escape
the maze.
Yeah, they escape the maze. Jack is left wandering in the cold until he is basically frozen to death.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows him covered in ice. He's dead. And we're brought back into the hotel, the Overlook, where there's a picture of all these different employee parties or whatever. And it zooms into one. It's a great shot of a party. July 4th, 1921.
Yep.
This movie takes place in the 70s?
No.
Or 80s. 80s. I think. And it zooms in more. We see some of the characters that
have died in this hotel.
Were aberrations or whatever, ghosts in the hotel whenever Jack was walking around. And it zooms in even more. And they're in the middle as caretaker. It has Jack in the picture, which it's some form. It doesn't look exactly like him. Hair is a little bit different,
but it's very similar. It's like a better, well-kempt version of him.
It is. Yeah. It is. And which leads us to believe, this is who possessed him, or this is the connection, the link that otherwise drives his,
or it's his,
this is Johnny,
or that is Jack Torrance. And he is now officially a part of the hotel. kind of like Haunted Mansion. There are 999 happy haunts here at this mansion. You could be the 1,000th haunt to complete us out. And every person that's in that has been somebody that stayed there before and died. And that's why the picture updates.
Did the picture update, though?
Yeah,
I don't think it updated.
I don't know. We don't know. We never saw it before.
I bet in the book it explains it.
It does. I did a little research. That's a lot. Like, the biggest criticism is that Stanley Kubrick, which is hard to criticize, Stephen King and Kubrick criticizing each other, but that he takes a lot of creative liberties, and they were good for the film. I don't know what they were from the books. I read the book, but
go ahead. No, I think King has a way to make a story, like a real life story, feel like super fantasy. Mm-hmm. Or supernatural or whatever.
Yeah.
And whereas this movie, you could tell Kubrick was leaning more into the cabin fever.
Yeah.
Like motive factor into it. Obviously we know later on as the movie goes on that there's something other than just cabin fever that's motivating Jack to do these things.
He's under what we call demonic oppression.
Yes, but the viewer, I think, is meant to spend the first hour and 15, like, oh, Jack's just losing his patience and all that. It's really effective and really, really builds tension. It's just whenever, what's her name? When Wendy is running around while Jack is chasing Danny, that like, why was there the scene with the pig or bunny or outfit or whatever in the guy?
Oh, the dog, the yellow dog where he's eating the dude's butt.
I think he was
eating ass.
The dude leaned up.
Yeah, because he was laid back and he was just his butthole.
I like that.
Yeah, me neither. But Snoopy was on it. And Snoopy did it. And then the whole lady in the bathtub saying the old lady's gross.
So why
the young lady wasn't?
Yeah. So let's hit on that because there's, I don't know if it's a plot hole, but whatever his name is,
Jack
Halvern. Yeah. No, not Jack. The other dude that has The Shining. So Danny is highlighted by
Scatman Crothers.
Yeah, by the cook.
Dick Halloran.
Halloran. He's spotted whenever they're doing the tour before they close down for the winter. And he notices, he picks up on Danny's ability.
Yeah.
And in confidence, like, it's just him and Danny. They're talking. He asks him, is like, do your parents know you have this ability? He's like, no, they just know I have this imaginary friend named Danny. Well, do they know that Danny tells you stuff?
Tony.
And it's just like, I could see this movie ending where Jack kills Shelley or Wendy, I mean, and Danny runs off with whatever his name is and harnesses his abilities.
Yeah.
Because
Jack kills Dick with an axe. Because he
flew all the way from Florida.
Yeah, because he sensed something was wrong.
Yeah,
all the way there. But no, this movie is brilliant, man. The acting is phenomenal. The script is phenomenal. The pacing is phenomenal for a freaking 3-hour movie. The practical set designs are just amazing. Everything about The Shining is a damn near masterpiece. I gave it 5 stars.
I would give it 5 as well. Kubrick, like, very ingenious.
Yeah, dude just has an eye for cinema, man.
I could watch one a week. Like,
yeah.
Prescription from the doctor. That's all I need.
Agreed. But yeah, no, The Shining is incredible, man. I mean, everybody's mostly seen it. You're behind the curve, and it's been a long time since I've seen it. But The Shining is great. I definitely recommend doing a double feature with Dr. Sleep because the lore that it expands upon immediately after would be incredible to watch, I think.
I was thinking about this too, just based off like some of the shots. It feels very David Lynch. Like, that you can tell David Lynch.
Yeah.
pulls a lot of his inspiration from Kubrick.
Yep, agreed.
And this interpretation of The Shining, which I think done in a David Lynch world, The Shining would look way different, but still, like, it would be executed differently, but it would look the same, yeah. If that makes sense.
No, I get that.
So, yeah.
There's not much to add about The Shining. I mean, everybody's mostly seen it, and it's just a damn near flawless movie.
Yeah, something I thought that was interesting when I was looking into it. The boy that played Danny, his name is actually Danny Lloyd.
I know, and Jack is Jack.
Yeah. Apparently, Kubrick was, like, very protective of the kid with it being a kid on a supposed, like, horror movie set. He kept the kid from really knowing what was happening in the movie. So it wasn't until later on in life that he found out that it was a horror movie and it's really gone. What happened. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He only acted in one other movie. He apparently is a professor at a community college in Elizabethtown.
Okay.
Kentucky.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
It's weird. You know what else is interesting?
What's that?
We're on our last week of movies.
Thank the Lord. I'm struggling, bro.
Well,
I love watching movies, but it's been a task.
Plus, you don't like scary movies.
I want to watch stuff that I want to watch.
I know. Well, last week of it, and we have the Halloween special. So we're watching the original Halloween, American Psycho, and Hereditary.
I'm down.
And then as your optional watches, you have The Thing and Suspiria. Those are your two options for optional watches.
I will watch all five of these.
I really wish you would watch Skinamarink instead of The Thing.
I will watch all five of the movies that you've listed for this week.
And Skinamarink. Skip The Thing then and watch Skinamarink.
No, you gotta watch this. I gotta watch The Thing. That's like, that is a classic.
It is. So is Skinamarink. Skinamarink is so good.
Skinamarink is not a classic.
I need to watch Dead Silence.
Beware the stare of Mary Shaw. I don't know what in the world you're talking
about.
She
had no children, only dolls. And if you see her in your sleep,
it is a poem, okay. Yeah.
Do not scream, or she'll rip your tongue out at the seam. So
necessary.
Dead Silence is about the lady who would eventually look with dolls, which is like a terrifying thing for me. So I don't like dolls like that.
Don't like it.
But anyway, yeah, so it's been another shorter but episode of Mostly Film, your one-stop chaotic shop for all things in the world of cinema. I am one of your hosts, Jonathan McCord, and my beautiful co-host, JP Payton. We'll be back with you on Tuesday for some breakdown of some more news and film and all that kind of stuff. And next week, Halloween, we'll be breaking down Halloween and American Psycho, Hereditary. It'll be a great time.
It'll be great.
It will be great.
Yeah, anything else to say, Luna?
See y'all later.
See ya.